have a wonderful surprise for you. I've asked Dasha Rose to share with us. And so she is going to come and she's going to share the word with us. And so make her feel welcome as she comes.
Good morning. Arise, shine, for the light has come. And the sun is shining today, which, hold on. I have to figure out where I'm going to put all my paraphernalia. Okay. So, do we have the video? Is it ready? Okay. I have something that I want to show you first before I dive into everything that I have. This morning, after I already had my notes, this happened. So, bear with me because I'll have to rifle through some things. But what I'm getting ready to show you right now is a scene from the series The Chosen. If you have not seen this yet, I highly recommend doing so. And I believe the second one comes out today, maybe. This is probably one of the most powerful scenes out of the whole series. And it's kind of bringing to life one of the most important, most powerful scriptures that I believe is one of the most important, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. What I'm hoping to do this morning is to shed a little bit more light on that with you and let you further understand what your destiny is coming into this as believers. And if you are not, have not, or have not given your heart over to him yet, we're going to talk a little bit about that too, because it's important. So go ahead, and if you're ready for that. I'm going to say it again, but that's Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and they met there, obviously, because he wanted to know more. And he came to that realization whenever they were at the table together of who Jesus really is. So although Jesus was, he looked like a man, God worked through him to bring his kingdom. And what that means is, right at that scene, that's the beginning of Jesus is starting to gather his flock. Okay? This is before, you know, he was ridiculed the entire time he was here on earth, but this is before the crucifixion. So to make this make a little bit more sense, this is before the thing started to happen where they were going to seize him and then eventually crucify him. He already knew his destiny. He had been prophesying that he was only going to be here for a short time, but he was trying to do as much as he could in that time frame. Because that was God working through a man, he could have done anything he wanted to stop that from happening. He chose not to. All of life is defined by the death and then resurrection of Jesus. Every single thing that we go through has already been laid at the foot of that cross. He knew this was what was going to happen. His life became the offering to settle everything for us. Everything for us. With such love, you could see the love in that scene. What I really love about The Chosen is it brings things to life. That shows the love. He would do anything for us because we're his children. His life became the offering of that gift of love in abundance. It's beyond what we can comprehend. But that leaves with us a duty. We are part of his DNA. We are here because God is good. But it's not just for us. So what we are coming into is a greater understanding of how we're going to be commissioned to co-labor with Jesus. In order to do that, we have to become more like him. We have daily access to his presence because his blood was shed for us. I'm going to read Ephesians 1:11. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny. This is our inheritance. Our destiny is that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. So we have an assignment, okay? A commission. I wanted to look up the word commission because I knew what it meant, but I wanted to see if I could get a more, it sounds like a strong word to me, and I wasn't disappointed when I looked this up this morning. A commission is a formal written warrant to perform various acts and duties. That's okay. An authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner or perform prescribed acts. A charge. That's good too. I like this one the best. Authority to act for, on behalf of another. A task or matter entrusted to one for another. Our commission is to fill the earth with kingdom glory, to bring his kingdom here. From the time before we were placed into our mother's womb, this became a part of us. It's our inheritance. It's in our DNA. This is a gift that we've been given. It's beyond our comprehension. Our assignment is to reveal the Father, demonstrate the vast goodness of our God shown in perfect love, and unveiling the glory to everyone. If you look around, his goodness is in everything. I love to be outside. I don't know many people that don't. Every blade of grass, every sunrise, every cloud, the air that we breathe, that is his goodness. It surrounds us everywhere we go. We need to be more willing to accept that that's surrounding us at all times. It's a gift that we've been given. Speaking of being willing, I recently heard the phrase, the Spirit is willing, which we've heard many times, but I recently heard it explained in a little bit of a different light. So I'm going to read that to you because I feel that it's extremely important for the season that we're all in right now and the duties that we have. The phrase, the Spirit is willing, is, I found that it seems like it has some power in it, but it's something that I've heard many times, as I'm sure you have also. But it means before or ahead of aggressive pursuit of something. Moving ahead with passion. The Spirit is an eager pursuit, which is saying you have a hunger or an appetite for something. That's my wish for all of you, is that today you leave here with a spirit in hot pursuit of our commission. We're to steward this assignment with a hunger to learn and then to share our knowledge with others. So I looked up steward and stewardship. It's when you're responsible in managing something or you're entrusted to one's care. We're to care for and love others. That's how we're going to bring in this harvest. This has already started happening. We're in a season now with we're going to see more moves of things happening. It's already started to happen. And I feel like more of this is going to happen the more we hunger in hot pursuit of being willing to move forward in this. I hope I'm making sense. Okay? It's so simple. We are to represent Jesus in the world. That is the essence of love. Think of what he did for us. He hung there on that cross and shed his blood so that we could be free, but not just to be free so we could live free and just do our own thing. The freedom that we're given is a gift that we're given because we need to continue to give this to others. That's our commission. That's our duty. We're to co-labor alongside of him to represent him in the world. It's not the world getting worse and the church being rescued. We are the rescuers. The promises are ours to access, to give to others. So the gloom and doom that surrounds us every day, you have to break out of that or this isn't going to work for you. We need to work in the gifts of the Spirit with the love of the Father to reach out and touch the souls of others and gather the harvest. It's in our DNA. It's what we were designed to do. I'm going to read John 14, verses 11 through 14. Believe me, I am in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. What is that saying? That's saying that we need to continue doing the works that he started. We don't need to live back then. We're living now, and we have that authority to do the works that he began to do then and start doing those things now because he's telling us. You can count on it. And now this is John 15, verses 16 and 17. This is so powerful. You didn't choose me, remember. I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. If you look up love in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it's going to give you a bunch of definitions. Being unselfish, being loyal, with a benevolent concern for the good of one another. It doesn't say anything about bitterness. It doesn't say anything about coming down on somebody harshly because they may not believe and scaring them into thinking that they're going to turn or burn. If you look up the definition of love in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, there's actually one word, if you go all the way down, God. This is what we are to model. This is a fresh revelation of his goodness so that we can have a deeper connection to him and we can demonstrate his goodness to everyone around us. I'm going to read out of a book that I have. Now, before I do this, what I want you to realize, I just want to tell you a little bit about me and how I come to with, usually it's like a trap door. It comes open and all this stuff goes psh, like this, and I have to try to figure out what to do with it. It swirls around all this information. And yesterday, I just randomly opened up this book to just a random section, and I'm not kidding when I say this. When I opened it up, and it actually went along with everything perfectly. Isn't that a coincidence? Absolutely not. I don't believe in coincidence at all. So that was a divine thing that took place. So I'm going to read this to you. Listen closely. It just emphasizes everything that I was talking about. His long suffering is beyond all of our abilities to comprehend and comes at a great personal cost. Fixing the world's problems through a military invasion of heaven is really not the answer that we want. He enforces his will over where he, this is if we did the military invasion, he enforces his will over mankind, destroying the greatest of all creations called the free will. In doing so, he would then forfeit the chance to have a people of divine purpose. He chose instead an invasion of love, where the hearts of people are conquered by one who sacrifices fully for their well-being. As a result, we now have a gospel of power that solves the issues at hand quite well, enabling us to bring that same message to them that changed us forever. We now just need people who believe it, live it, and will risk all to display it. Jesus displayed the heart of his Father perfectly in every possible situation. It didn't matter whether it was disease, tormenting demons, storms, mothers with dead children, crowds with nothing to eat, or one of the numerous other calamities recorded in the Gospels. Each situation became an opportunity to reveal what the God of the universe was really like. Time and time again, we're left awestruck. When he is manifested as the Father, we would all dream of having, if we even had the ability to dream in that capacity. Was this display of miracles a temporary exhibition of his kindness? I'm so thankful for the scriptures, the absolute word of God. The word of God is given for our instruction. In receiving it, we become equipped, empowered, and directed to a lifestyle that displays and fulfills the will of God on the earth. It is this same word of God that reveals Jesus as the will of God. In fact, Jesus is the word of God made flesh, the perfect revelation of the will of God. How can it be acceptable to be devoted to the word of God and not, meaning the Bible, and not the word of God, the person? Jesus healed on the Sabbath because to the Father, people were more important than how the religious leaders interpreted the rules. The kingdom now was and is his answer. Love requires the display of his answers now. Jesus was the fulfillment of an ongoing revelation of the heart of the Father. This revelation only increases from season to season. It's the principle given to us from Isaiah 9:7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. It only increases and goes forward. The concept of ongoing forward motion is repeated in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. The point is, God takes us forward in an ever-increasing revelation. It never declines or goes back to inferior standards. If Jesus opened up the revelation of the Father through miracles, signs, and wonders, why would he then return to the inferior? He didn't. We did. And that's the point. To make sure we'd never forget the standard he set, he stated the impossible. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Forward motion. That's the plan of God. No retreat and no excuses. This book is called God is Good, He's Better Than You Think, and it's by Bill Johnson. If you want, and it has to be out of your own will, like I said before, it has to be aggressively pursued. I'm feeling led now that I probably should pray. I mean, I know that I should, so I'm going to do that. But let me just say this first. If you want to be a steward of his goodness over the earth and you're accepting this commission, what you have to understand is this: things are not going to come easy. You have to be willing to step in with everything that you have. You need to be a risk taker to be a heart winner. If you're here and you desire that, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. When I was younger, and somebody would say, if you need to repent of your sins, please stand up. I thought, oh my goodness, then everybody's going to know. And you're not supposed to look around, but of course everybody does. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. But what I also want to tell you are two things. One, you may be here today because, and you already have a relationship with Jesus. You've already accepted him into your heart. You are more than willing to work for him as a co-laborer. But maybe things got a little stale. I'm going to pray that as you leave this building today, that you are refreshed in that new journey that you're going to embark on. I feel it firmly in my heart right now that there's a lot of us here today that do have a relationship, but you want it to be more. There also may be some of you here today that want to know forgiveness and you truly want to follow Jesus with all of your heart, and you don't want to leave here today until you have acknowledged that to him. Right now, I want you to surrender yourselves. You have to surrender your whole self to Jesus. You want to get it right and have peace with God and have a relationship with him. I pray right now in this very second that the breath of God washes through this place and touches you from head to toe. If right now you feel in your heart it's beating a little quicker and you feel that warmth in your body, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he was here before we were this morning. His heart's desire, before he even placed Jesus on this earth to walk as a man and do signs, miracles, and wonders, before you were birthed into your mother's womb, he knew your destiny. Your destiny is to unveil the goodness of the Father to every single soul that you come across. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray over each person here today that they feel your presence so strongly that it's undeniable that you're here. If they have not surrendered their heart over to you, that's taking place right now. They're making those commitments. They're speaking to you right now through prayer as I pray over them. That when they leave this place, they will feel the goodness of God if they haven't felt it right in this instant. If there are barriers or things taking place where they're unsure or they're fearful, please know, my children, there's no fear where I am. There's love. There's an abundance of love coming from the Father, and it's a gift for you now and forever. I already paid the price. I already paid the price for you.